Greetings and good morning. We're gathered here this morning for memorial service, but more than that. We mark the going home of Richard Locke, and so as we gather here this morning, I think it's certainly one thing to keep in mind. Yes, there are memories, and we'll share some of those a little bit later. Some good ones, maybe even some funny ones. There is a missing of Richard that will go on for a time. But right now, Richard is better off than he has ever been. And so we have much to rejoice over for his sake, and a rejoicing that we will one day share with him as he is face to face with the Lord now. So those who believe also will be. Let's take a moment to just put this time into the Lord's hands. Join me. Lord, we thank you that as we're gathered here this morning, that we can count upon your very faithfulness, what eternal life you have already begun in Richard at the point in which he believed. You have taken to its next step by your decision. And Lord, we can rejoice this morning that he is with you face to face. And what a rejoicing that is, Lord. He will never again shed a tear or grieve or be in sorrow, but instead rejoice with you moment by moment and glorify your name. And Lord, as we gather, we pray for our own hearts and our own minds, that we would have indeed your perspective on this. And we thank you that we do not have to take the world's, that you are indeed the God of all comfort. We praise you for that. We give you thanks. And we thank you for where Richard is, not just the place, but the person, that he is before the Lord of glory. We thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. We, in looking at the memorial half, if you will, of today's service, want to just kind of review some of the highlights of Richard's life. Richard was born May 4th, 1934, in Hayward, Wisconsin, to Ann Locke and Charles Locke. He spent the first part of his life going back and forth to Madison, Wisconsin. You see, Richard was born with club feet. Many of us may not have even known that. But it was something that was a significant issue in the first years of his life as his parents sought to find some kind of a solution and resolution of that. At one point in time, the doctor even said, just cut him off. But they said no. And so, as we saw him here up until this last week, he walked in here for the last 25 years because of that insistence. No, we're not going to do that. So this is a good thing. He attended the country school, Wheeler, and then his family moved there, and he went to Hayward grade and Hayward High School, graduating in 1952. After he graduated, he moved to Chicago and worked for the Nelson Company for a couple of years. Then he decided to join the Air Force. He spent about two decades with the Air Force, retiring around 1974. And after that, he went to work there in California and then moved to Denver and worked for E.F. Hutton until E.F. Hutton decided to move the office to Atlanta. And from there on, he had a few different jobs. He was active here at Holly Hills for about 2.5 decades, and many of you have been here for longer than I have long and fond recollections of Richard here. And one of the reasons we chose this picture is a great smile. And that's a good way to remember Richard. I'm sure a lot of you look at that smile and say, yeah, I've seen that before. Richard was raised in the Catholic faith. He came to a point, however, when he heard the gospel message and he realized that he was indeed in need of the Savior. He, at that point in time, accepted the gift of eternal life through faith in Jesus Christ. As we look here at this last week and Richard's passing, it ends what will be earthly memories, but it begins for him a time of eternity that will be without parallel. When here in this church body some months back we studied Ephesians 2:7, it says that it will take eternity for the Lord to reveal all the grace. And that means millions of years is not long enough. Richard has begun that time. He has begun that time of continuing revelation of God's grace. As the way we put it here, it's like an eternity of gasping and, great discovery. That time has begun for him. So as we have certainly memories, and we'll take a look at some more of those memories here this morning, Richard has incomparable discoveries taking place, begun even now. And we look to the Lord for that. Let's turn your hymnals to 394, Blessed Assurance. Stand, please. Blessed assurance, Jesus is mine. Oh, what a foretaste of glory divine. Heir of salvation, purchase of God, born of His Spirit, washed in His blood. This is my story, this is my song, praising my Savior all the day long. This is my story, this is my song, praising my Savior all the day long. Perfect submission, perfect delight, visions of rapture now burst on my sight. Angels descending bring from above echoes of mercy, whispers of love. This is my story, this is my song, praising my Savior all the day long. This is my story, this is my song, praising my Savior all the day long. Perfect submission, all is at rest. I in my Savior am happy and blessed, watching and waiting, looking above, filled with His goodness, lost in His love. This is my story, this is my song, praising my Savior all the day long. This is my story, this is my song, praising my Savior all the day long. You may be seated. We're going to ask Mike and Hal to share with us out of God's Word.
When Hal didn't stand up, I thought, well, I guess I'm going first. Richard Locke, probably in the early 80s, Don and I were talking about coming down here. We came to Holly Hills, Richard was sitting right there, nattily dressed, tweed jacket, He looked terrific. And I always remember him like that. And have you ever met a friendlier guy? Well, I got to thinking, at the Tuesday Bible study when we first found out the news, it was a joyful time. We had a great day because we were rejoicing that Richard was home. And so I got to thinking, that's where I'd like to be. That's where we all would really like to be, given the choice. So, home free. Now the Father has every believer whom He chooses in eternity past, every single one of them, whom He promised to His Son, safely and eternally in His risen Son. And this is the Father's will, whom He has sent. And this is the Father's will who has sent me, that all that He has given me, I should lose nothing, but should raise it up again in that last day. In his prayer to his Father in the garden, he said, Father, I will that they also whom thou hast given me be with me where I am. That's where Richard is right now. That they may behold my glory. So we know where he is, and we also know what he's doing right now. Which thou hast given me, for thou hast loved me before the foundation of the world. So the Lord Jesus prayed this prayer on the eve of his death on the cross. It was all settled, and it had been settled since eternity past. It was there we were chosen in him, the Father, having predestinated us unto the adoption of sons by Jesus Christ, to himself, according to the good pleasure of his own will. The Lord Jesus had to die in order to bring us to himself, in order to fulfill the eternal calling of the Father who has chosen us in him. Except a grain of wheat fall in the ground and die, it abides alone. But if it dies, it brings forth much fruit. So, it's interesting. If you think about one of the things we talked about on Tuesday, if Richard had a choice of being hanging out with us studying the Word of God on Tuesday or doing what he was doing at that present time, which would he pick? There wasn't any choice. He would stay right where he was. He would never leave the beholding of the Lord. The other thought I had about him and about his going home is that the Lord Jesus Christ loves us so much that at the very instant that our task is completed here, we're gone. Because he wants us in his company. He wants us to be in fellowship with him. He wants us to behold his glory unobstructed from now on. And so I'm really very excited about Richard. And I, as best I can, I envy him. Thank you.
If you want to turn your Bibles to 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and just follow what I'm going to be reading, and if you don't, that's okay. In 2 Corinthians chapter 5, starting at verse 1, it says, For we know that if our earthly tent, which is our house or body, is torn down, we have a building from God, a house or body, not made with hands, eternal in the heavens. For indeed in this house or body we groan, longing to be clothed with our dwelling from heaven. Inasmuch as we, having put it on, shall not be found naked. For indeed, while we are in this tent or body, we groan. And this is the second time it uses the word groan. The question is, what are we groaning about? Well, it's an inward, first of all, groaning is an inward expression or feeling of sorrow. Why are we sorrow? Why are we sorrowful in this body? And we're sorrowful in this body because we're in this body. and we're not at home with the Lord. And the more intimacy that we have with the Lord, the more the groaning. The more we know Him, the more we're going to groan to be with Him. So continuing in verse 4, it says, being burdened, because we do not want to be unclothed, but to be clothed, in order that what is mortal may be swallowed up by life. Notice something. For Richard, the groaning is over. And there's no more burden. No more heaviness in the various trials that the Lord allowed Richard to go through in his walk here. How wonderful is that? Not to have the burden anymore. And we can be joyous in Richard's homegoing. And do you notice what verse 4 said? That he's swallowed up by life. And there's a definite article there, not to teach, but he's swallowed up by the life of the Lord Jesus Christ. Whoa, isn't that something? In verse 5, it says, now, he who prepared us for this very purpose is God, who gave us the Spirit as a pledge or down payment. And it's talking about the Holy Spirit, that we have the Holy Spirit indwelling us as God's pledge. In verse 6, it says, therefore, being always of good courage and knowing that while we are at home in the body, we are absent from the Lord. For we walk by faith, not by sight. We are of good courage. I say, and prefer rather, to be absent from the body and to be at home with the Lord. Note something about Richard. Richard has a change of address. It's no longer Denver, Colorado. If you want to address anything to Richard, you address it to the third heaven, because that's where he is. And then in verse 9, it says, therefore, we have confidence. We have this fixed certainty, whether at home or absent, to be well-pleasing to Him. Amen? Amen.
You have in the handout here a sheet we'd like to have you take out. And I've got some. Okay.
Thank you.
to share with us here?
I think Richard would have liked a German song.
Start our time off here. We'd like to have a time of sharing of memories. I think this would be something initially a few people have been lined up, and then we'd like to open the mic. We can just carry this around to whoever would like to also share some memories with us, and that would be great.
Just so you know, the first two hymns that we sang were two of Richard's favorite hymns, and that's why we've been singing them. The second one, we didn't do to it very well because we didn't know it very well, but it was his favorite. There was something different about last Sunday when Lindy and I came to church. What was different was that Richard wasn't at the door to greet us and waiting for Lindy and myself. Because you see, on every wedding anniversary, Richard was there, standing at the door with his Bible under hand, and on top of the Bible would be a white Hallmark card with his beautiful handwriting. And I can't tell you, I should mention that our anniversary was just this past Thursday. So Richard was always there the Sunday before our anniversary, standing at the door, ready to greet us. And I can't tell you how many times Richard saved me. You get the picture. When I saw Richard with that white card, I said, what's happening this week? But Richard wasn't there. And he always wanted to congratulate us face to face with a big hug. So we didn't have the face to face fellowship with Richard on Sunday because he was having face to face fellowship with someone else. Were we jealous? Not in the least, because he was having face-to-face fellowship with his Lord Jesus Christ. And that's so much better, isn't it?
Yeah.
In 1 Corinthians chapter 13, it says, "For we now see in a mirror dimly, but then face-to-face. Now I know in part, but then I shall know fully, just as I also have been known." Or fully known. Richard's and our seeing and knowing the Lord is somewhat imperfect while we're here. But Richard is seeing and knowing his Lord perfectly because he's face to face with him. And this is, I want you to think about this. This is the ultimate fulfillment of God's eternal purpose. Sharing his very glory with us, with Richard. So sorrow for Richard is out of the question. Christians are not to sorrow as others who have no hope or no certainty. We have absolute certainty as to where Richard is. He's face to face with the Lord Jesus Christ. And our only response can be that of joy and praise to God. Amen? Yeah, it's okay. Somebody else would like to share something. Art.
Look like Richard, don't I, the way I walk. Some of you oldies here at Holly Hills will remember that in the mid-70s, Holly Hills would have some intensive weekends up at Pingree Park, the summer campus of CSU's Forestry Service. And Richard, it must have been right after Richard had found Holly Hills and started attending here. He didn't have a car, so he rode up there with Doris and I, and in the afternoons we would, after Bible study in the morning and of course in the evening, we would have some free time. So a number of us began to hike, and Richard was having some difficulty with his feet, so the group went on. Richard and I sat down beside a bubbling stream, and Richard shared with me how he had been reborn, as he put it then, and he told me some of his experiences in the Air Force. Regrettably, there was one that he had purchased a home with another couple, and somehow or other, this couple, I don't know exactly how to put it, but Richard lost his investment in that home. He wasn't bitter about it, but he just shared it. I will remember Richard. Richard is looking down upon us. One of the attributes of Richard, the Bible tells us that we should honor our fathers and our mothers. And Richard took his dear mother Ann and provided a home for her in her later years while they were here. And I want to bring this to a close, but Richard this morning, or today, or not today, Richard is in heaven looking down upon us You'll remember how he would get up here and he would say, "Greetings to my brothers and my sisters," and he is waiting in heaven to greet all of us who know the Lord Jesus Christ as our personal Savior, as he did and as he does, surely like he never had here. As Hal has mentioned, he has had the privilege to meet our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ face to face.
Thank you. Another?
The necklace I have on was given to me by Richard. It was his mother's.
You know, it's kind of funny when you look back at times after Richard. He used to, I thought there for a while he was pulling a con job on me. And I realized that it mattered that he just liked to be with someone. Because he would ask me if, and later on it became a responsibility of Ralph's and Robert's to take him over to the hospital for his visit with his doctor. There for a long time I would take him. He never really called to see if the schedule was likely to say, "I need to go on such and such a day and such and such a time." And they'd say, "Would you be able to?" And I said, "Sure." As they were being self-employed, as you can interrupt here to pay Paul on that, so I would do that. And I didn't realize, I think, until last Tuesday, that he did a lot of that because not only did he just like being with me, and I enjoyed being with him, we had a lot of things to share back and forth, and we talked about the Lord a great deal. And he just liked being with people. And I know that he would be pleased today, and I know he is pleased today, that all of you are here sharing this time with him.
I love this picture of Richard, this up here. I think it's the way he looks right now. And it just so looks like him the way he always was. He was a happy person, a gentle person, and I miss it. But I'm so happy for him. When I first heard that he was gone, I had a variety of feelings. I think one of them, of course, was shock. I was so surprised. And then another one was kind of like, well, gee, I've been left out. And then another one was, all of us have one less person here on earth right now who prays for us every day. Because I really believe that he was one of our best prayer warriors. He always wanted to know how everybody was. And if you ever told him anything, you always had a sense that he prayed for us so much. And I know over the years with our problems, Richard was one person I knew was always praying. He was always so tender toward us, and he loved our children. He came here to the church in 1978, which was, we had arrived in late 77. And so we've known him a long time, and our kids kind of grew up with Richard in their life during the first 12 years that we were here at Holly Hill. And the reason for that really was not just that they knew him here, but that we had the singles out at our house a lot during those years. And it was quite a good group. We had a lot of, well, they weren't all young people either, as Richard was probably in his, maybe his 50s at that time. And, or at least his late 40s, anyway, he was out of the Air Force. And so we kind of got to know him, and our children kind of grew up with him. And so that's one reason I know he prayed for them over the years and always had them close to his heart. So, anyway, I think maybe that was all I was going to say. But we love Richard, and I'm just really happy that he is finally with the Lord.
Thank you.
It's indeed an honor to be in honor with Richard and my wife this morning. I got acquainted with Richard a year ago when my ex-wife had his Bible study here at High Hill. And I sure would like to echo what Aaron just said. I highly value Richard's prayers for me, and I know he did pray for me. And probably for each one of us, including all of you. And another thing, too, had recently had a birthday. And Richard gave me one of his cards again. And, you know, it's so interesting how little incidents in life at the time seemed rather insignificant. But later on, they turn out to be milestones in your life. And the Lord is so good. You know, when we recently had to get together on Easter Sunday, Bob and Margaret to the house, and Richard asked if he could get a ride up, and he said, "Well, certainly." And we had no idea just what a pleasure it was to be able to spend that time one-on-one with Richard and just relax and enjoy that great time that we had. So I really value Richard's impact on my life, because he was always so faithful to the Lord.
Yeah.
I want to say one other thing, too, about that birthday. You, Richard, had a birthday here just the other day. And you were just a new one. So.
I just wanted to say, when I was playing the Arctic four times several years ago, so came to the order, it seemed like Richard would come in about 8:30, and then I did the 8:15, start practicing. He would sit down and he would just listen to me play. And he would, that song that the Holy God was raised on, he's been wanting to sing that for years, and I feel that I never did that stuff before now. And I feel that is the enemy that he's saying. He loved that song, and that blessed assurance he was always about this favorite song he was going to play. And I would have read about once every 4 months, but he was a special song. He just loved that. Your musician, if he loved you, and then he said, he played it always.
Somehow, as I stand here, look at Richard's picture, I expect to hear, many of you don't know me, my name is and I look around and I see, there isn't anybody here that does me. We're going to miss him, but what a joy it is to know where he's at.
On that picture, kind of a little funny story about it. As you know, we were taking these pictures back in the back room of the roster of the directory. And Eleanor was standing behind him, and he was smiling. And Richard had that rather wide smile on his face. No one else had smiled quite that much. And you know, so I tried to calm him down just a little bit. And I said, Richard, maybe if you don't smile quite so much, and the minute I would push the button, I don't know, it was like it was intuition on his part. The minute I do that, the smile would come on. I shot that picture 3 times. And that's the one that we chose because you could not get him not to smile.
I met Richard at the Tuesday study probably 10 years ago, and it's already been said, but I don't know that I've ever met a kinder and gentler man than him. And as he says too, I know that he prayed for us, and whenever we would leave town, he would ask how it was, and I knew that he was praying for us. But probably the thing I'll remember the most was his love for her daughter. and the way that he would smile at her, and the way that she would reach to him, and just beautiful to see the love between them.
Both Gail and Dave have mentioned how Richard prayed, loved their children, and that is something that though Richard never had children of his own, he really did love the children of this congregation and the children that he knew in his life. They were important to him, and he loved them. And my son mentioned the other day that he always greeted Abby's little daughter, and that his love for the children was awesome.
And going to various places with Richard and spending time with him. But one of the things that he shared was that he, in the various places in the Air Force, was stationed in the northern Mediterranean. So he got to spend time in places that were a lot of the places that the Apostle Paul ministers, as they act in Athens and Ephesus, places like that, in some cases, been several visits. And so it was neat to hear those stories and for him to kind of picture in his mind how these very same places the Lord was ministered to all companions and believers. And so that was neat to hear. But it was also neat to hear Richard's further stories and how through the various things that they had taken through, he could always look to the Lord and turn to the Lord and say, the Lord is saved, and the Lord is the King. So it was a privilege to me to be in a very special Christian. The others
too much, but he had the children, which was the first Sunday that Vern preached here at my dad's service. And Richard came to the dad's service. And it's kind of funny after that, I lost his mom. And he had adopted my mom. And he would ask every Sunday, how's mom? Let's say, how's your mother? How's mom? And, as one mother said, we had a deal today. That she said, we hired one.
We came out to Holly Hills a couple years back, about 3 years ago, and we were part of a church in Virginia that had a young adult group. We pretty much just hung out with other people our age. Mm-hmm. Kind of like a college and career group. So, one of the first things we enjoyed about Holly Hills was we got to get to know older people. Richard was one of the first guys that just kind of shoot the ball with that, just talk to you and stuff. So our family was so happy that we had the opportunity to get to know Richard.
face to face, we're going to sing a song about what Scripture does.
Rejoicing, a rejoicing that shall never end for Richard. And Lord, we who have placed our faith in Jesus Christ have that same blessed hope. What a marvelous hope. And Lord, for Richard, that hope is no longer hope because it's fulfilled. He sees you face to face. How wonderful, how marvelous, what a wonderful hope we have. We just pray and thank you for this time of sharing, a time of rejoicing and celebration in Richard's graduation. In Jesus' name, amen. We invite you to remain afterwards. There are refreshments downstairs, and enjoy a time of fellowship together.